Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share the show with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley.
What the fuck was that, dude?
I don't know. Austin's got a weird look. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me, as always, David Hilton.
I don't know what you two fucking weirdos are doing, but
Austin's
that's just
over
weird.
There looking like he forgot to turn something on. He's got this look of like, they're going to kill me.
But, are we good?
No, I heard a squeaky chair, and I was like,
it's not me. It's the fucking weirdo that Mitch invited into his house that he doesn't even fucking know. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys. You got a serial killer over in the left corner. You got Austin over here. Who knows if he even hit start? His wife's in the back like, I'm closest to the door so I can get the fuck out of here if shit goes down. And you two are just laughing during the intro.
Yeah.
Do you want to start over? Do you want to just go with
no,
it?
We're rolling.
We
made it through the intro. We don't stop.
Okay. I'm mad at you, by the way.
Yeah. Tell everybody why you're mad at me.
Because you bought a fucking boat. The whole fucking deal was, hey, when you get the boat, at least call me so I can drive the 7 minutes to your house to see it and be like, hey, buddy, awesome. Yeah. This is so cool. The motherfucker doesn't even call me to, like, I wasn't looking for a ride. I wasn't looking to go to the lake and drive around. Like, I just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is cool, man. Great job. 5 minutes. I'll catch you later. I don't even get a, hey, we're busy. I'm not going to, like, we're just going to the lake, no big deal. I get nothing.
You got shafted.
Fucking ghost town.
Ghosted.
It's a fucking ghost town.
Hey.
Fuck off.
I don't think I've ever seen your boat.
Fuck off. It's nothing special. It's a long 20-foot fishing boat. You want to see it?
Well, no. It'd be nice.
No, you don't care. It doesn't matter. When I got the car, did I bring the car over and show you?
You did.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll bring the boat over.
Fuck
you. Didn't
you.
Bring the car over the day you got it.
Like within 3 days.
Okay.
Because I had to. Yeah, it was the middle of winter. What do you want me to
we're
do?
We're day three. What do you want? What are you doing after the show? You want to go see it?
Yes, I do. I want to fucking go over and see it. Don't test me. We'll
gotta,
be driving the fuck over there right after the goddamn show.
I gotta go over there anyway because I gotta move a battery charger.
So. Oh, well, then I fucking like it. So, yes.
So, yeah.
I'm not super pissed, but I was disappointed.
Well.
Janine's like, hey, I thought Mitch was getting that boat today. Like, that's when it hit me.
It makes it worse.
And I was like.
Damn it.
Yeah, he was. And so, she's like, he didn't text you or anything? I was like, no. He texted me for money the day before, but no.
For money.
I'm just kidding. He did not borrow money. Like, but just, like, yeah. You know. No, he didn't. Like,
so
it hurt my feelings.
We weren't home for 5 minutes.
Okay, and the excuses are started. Let's hear them.
No excuses.
Reasons. Yeah. Okay. I'll stab everyone in this room with a pen.
So we
Go
weren't
ahead.
Home for 5 minutes, and people start coming out of the woodwork. And I'm like,
oh, in the neighborhood? In the neighborhood?
The neighbors are coming over. More neighbors are coming over. The mother-in-law comes over.
Just because your wife's like, hey, mom.
Yeah, I know.
Come be proud of me. Even though at the same time, she's like, I hate my mother.
Yeah.
Like, thank God she doesn't listen to the podcast. Like, I don't want her to come in here and stab me with a pen.
Right.
Like, but, you know, you get it.
Yeah, it's.
Look how red your face is.
Well. So, yeah, it was a whole lot of people and.
Yeah, I know.
Mason and Grant, all they wanted to do was get it on the water.
Yeah.
And we still had some errands to run to go make it legal to be on the water. And so it was like, I'm going to go run these errands. Everyone was enjoying it and everything else. And then we just went straight to the water. And then more people showed up. Like my wife tells me like, oh, by the way, there's people waiting on the dock for us. I'm like, what do you mean? And her sister and our soon to be brother-in-law and.
Yeah.
And then the brother-in-law's mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
dude,
this is crazy.
Her leash is too long.
Yeah.
Like, you give her too much. You know?
I let her get away with too much.
Yeah, her
I
leash
told her that the
long.
Other day, and it's gone to her head, and now she overthinks it. And she's like, is this getting away with too much?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Like, that should be your fallout answer. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, you are.
So, long and the short of it, I completed a... a goal of mine. A goal of mine was to buy a wake surfing boat. And bought one.
Look,
18 months.
I'm proud of you, but I've been literally hearing about it for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So
a little over 18 months.
Good on you. But just don't bring anything up for a while.
At the same time, you're like happy for you, but in your mind, you're like,
yes.
Now you don't have to hear about it.
You're going to have to hear about it if I don't get invited.
Well, we can go check it out tonight.
Nah, you're going to have to get him a happy meal on the way.
I can't wait till it's warm out. I'm super excited. Like, the first time it's really legit warm out and I call you and I'm like, hey, Mitch, I want to go out.
Yeah.
You owe me at least like one.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I will cancel everyone else and you can go.
Yeah.
I will. Because my daughter, she doesn't like to, she'll tube, but that's about it. But she just likes to be on the boat.
Yeah.
Like, she likes to go out, stop, swim for a while. So it's going to be close now. So
yeah,
you got to take me.
Well, we're getting it all set up for,
it's going to be great, man.
Every kid of any age to wake surf and all that stuff.
It's going to be
great.
It'll be fun. She's pretty fearless. I mean, you saw her when we went to Breckenridge.
Wait, you're not going to get, I mean, you wake surf at 11 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's not like you fall and it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, she's like, that's going to be easy for her.
Yeah. It's not like tubing.
It's not like sail GP.
Does it have, so I've wakeboarded before, but I've never surfed before. So do they still have the pole that goes out and you kind of start on the pole and then let go?
No, it's got a tower up top. Your rope ties to the tower.
Okay, so you start on a short rope to surf and then let go of the...
Yeah, you want to start about 10 feet from behind the boat.
And then you just surf with nothing.
And then you just grab the rope and pull yourself onto the wave.
Okay.
The wave's like 5 feet off the back of the boat.
Yes. It's right now. Like, literally, you could feel like you could reach out and touch the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like if you fell forward, you'd hit your head on the boat.
Yeah, I've never done that before. But she'll probably love that.
This thing makes a big wave.
So I know. That's why I'm excited to go.
Should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could have seen it on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
any more sarcastic comments?
Nope.
Okay. You sure?
Nope. Yep.
Good.
100%. Good?
No, I'm proud of you. I am. I am. I'm happy that you got it.
Should be a lot of fun.
A lot of time. You've worked really hard to get there.
Yeah.
So.
But we got there. Should be fun for the summer. Gotta get creative.
It's gonna be great.
Gotta get creative with how I handle all the documentation from here on because Missouri charges 9% sales tax.
Do you want to talk about that on the show?
Sure, why not?
Okay. So, I don't want to get you in trouble.
I'm gonna register it in South Dakota for 90 days before I transfer it to Missouri. So that way I only pay 3% sales tax in South Dakota instead of 9% in Missouri.
Yeah.
So
it's called smart business.
Yeah. It's called do what you can.
Do whatever you can.
I may leave depends on. The only reason I would need to move it to Missouri is to get like an annual pass at the local lake here.
Yeah.
I need to have a Missouri registration. Yeah. Otherwise, I have to buy day passes at $30 a piece.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to get really expensive. So.
Well, it can. Well, like it can. I've done the math. It's not much more if you're an out-of-state resident buying a county tag in our, like if you live in Kansas and you wanted to go to Longview every weekend and get a two-day pass.
I don't think you can get an annual pass unless you have it registered in Missouri.
Yes, you can.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, not annual. If you live in Kansas and you want to come get two passes every weekend, by annually, I mean every year. Like you just wanted to go, okay, I want to go 4 weekends a month, whatever. Like it's not that much more money. It's way cheaper to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Than it is to try to do that.
I'm saving a bullet on sales tax.
Oh, yeah. It's night and day.
Yeah. It's huge.
Oh, no. Yeah. Look, can I ask you something?
Yep.
So, you know I want to get a Ferrari, right?
Yep.
Can I do that in South Dakota?
Yeah, 100%.
With a car?
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And you need to leave the Ferrari. Like, there's no reason to have changed that. Like, you just have South Dakota tags.
No.
But it is what it is.
Sales tax expensive.
Yeah. And it's South Dakota's doing it smart because they're not populated, right? So they don't get tax from residents.
And you don't. And
so
they,
it's perfectly legal for them to. I mean, they've.
And you don't have to you don't have to have a residency there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like
they changed their laws.
Yeah.
So like Montana requires.
It's in Montana. Yeah.
Yeah, Montana has zero sales tax, but you have to be a resident. And I did find a company for $1,850. They will make you a resident.
But you're riding the gray line.
But
like
then
you're also riding the gray line for sure.
Right? Yeah. You're tax evasion
100%.
At that point.
Yeah.
So this is tax mitigation. This is different. So
mitigation. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. It's true. Like it's 100% true. Like this is the whole.
Oh, and you gotta keep in mind, the government invites you to do this. Right?
Yes.
Because we have all these tax rules. You got to follow them. Oh, you're going to tell me the rules? No. Well, what happens if I do them wrong? You go to jail.
You're fucked.
Okay. Well, what happens if I do them right? Well, you might get money back, but like, we're not going to tell you if you could have gotten more or not.
Yeah.
So if they're going to shroud, you know, shield us, cloud us from the rules.
I knew where you're going.
Yeah. if they're going to keep us from seeing all the rules, then we have to do whatever we have to do to be creative
with
it.
Well, this is the whole thing of like, and I don't want to get off on like a whole side tangent here, but like all of the people that are lazy that say, oh, rich people are, they're tax dodging and they're doing this and Donald Trump should be paying this and Elon Musk should be paying this. They are doing what the law requires.
Right.
And then trying to get around and save whatever dollars they can. Are you telling me you're not doing the same thing? Not you, but those people aren't doing the same thing when they get coupons? No. They're doing what the law allows. I'm going in here and I'm trying to save money.
Right.
It's the same thing. Are you telling me because those people have more money that they shouldn't be trying to do the same? I do the same every year.
Right.
I mean, literally every year I call my accountant and I'm like, hey, I know you do this with your financial advisor and your accountant. Like, how do I get around paying all of these taxes?
Right.
Well, you can buy equipment. Well, you could have hired another employee. Well, you could have done X, Y, and Z. Like, in that, those things that are completely legal and legitimate, those things are in there so that they can spur the economy.
Yeah.
So that they allow money, instead of going to the government, they go to spur the economy forward.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get people that are rich to say, instead of giving the government money, I want to give other people in America the money that are working here. Wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Like, you want that money to stay with everyone else.
Yeah.
Not go to the government. So stop being like I said, I don't want to be on a tangent, but it's like, stop being a dumb fuck.
Right.
And allow that money to go back into it. You know, stop throwing a hissy fit about it. It's ridiculous.
Well, and I'm a big fan of eliminating income tax and only having sales tax.
Oh, we're going on a super tangent. Okay.
Well, something like that.
The main reason why is just because you're taxing those who spend, not those who earn.
Yes.
Right.
And a sales tax environment is the greatest tax that can spur the most revenue to keep the economy booming. Like, there are tons of studies out there that say, hey, if you only do sales tax, and don't do income tax, you will grow the economy by 3%, 5%, 8%, 9% year over year.
Right.
Because there is no other option other than that money going back into, how do I say this? Go back into regenerating itself and staying with the people that want to continue to spend that money. Does that make sense?
Well, the
how
other,
I said it?
The other flip side of that too is it encourages your general population of people to save money.
Yeah.
Right now, there's no encouragement to save, right? Unless you got a couple of loopholes for like retirements and all of that. And not loopholes, but you got a couple of rules for retirement accounts and all of that. But
yeah.
There's no, like, if I make $100,000 this year, I'm getting taxed out the ass. And then if I spend that $100,000, I'm getting taxed out the ass some more.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fucking insanity.
And so
it's insanity.
There's not they're not discouraging you from saving, but there's no encouragement to save. Whereas if you only tax on what you spend instead of what you earn, people are going to start saving a whole lot more money and you're going to have a lot more of a financially strong society.
Well, you have more people that are financially stable.
Yeah.
That's
now.
That's really what you have. And
does
people
the government
that are,
want that? I don't know.
No. Here we go.
I mean, student loan debt like proves
people,
that. But
people that are financially more stable, they don't just save more, they invest more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they spend their money on things that matter.
Right.
You know, and they try to keep their money here. Like, that's kind of the whole mantra of like what the sales tax thing is about. Government wants to keep us poor. Like what you were saying. Like, does the government want that? No. They want you to rely on them. Like,
yeah.
I thought this show was going to be like completely different.
Well, we got a whole bunch of topics we're going to get into. Right,
I'm just saying, they don't.
Yeah.
Because the more people that they can keep poor and rely on them, it allows them to, you know, have more income tax sales leverage to raise taxes. They make more money and then can kind of keep the separation between. Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Low income and high income.
Yeah, the gap
and then
is
shrink,
only going to get larger.
And then you can shrink the middle class, which, like, the one thing that makes this country great is that the middle class was so big for so long.
Right.
Like, if you shrink that, you're fucked. Like, you just can't do it. That is the consumer class. That is what is buying everything.
Yeah.
Rich people don't buy shit. They get jets. They buy a few, like there's such a small percentage that they cannot buy enough clothes to keep everybody employed.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tangent, Mitch.
I just ran the math. I spent $50,000 in sales tax on vehicles alone in the last 2.5 years.
Oh man. We should have one of our episodes, we should be like, I just bring all my stuff in and I'm like, this is what I spent on taxes. This is what I spent on sales tax. This is what I spent on vehicle. You know what I mean? And we should just be like, this is how much money I've spent and this is how much I've made. And then like, do the math. Like, how much money did I actually get to keep?
I made a Facebook
5%
post.
5%. Fuck off.
We bought 3 transits in the same day. And I made a Facebook post about basically writing a check for the amount of a Honda Civic to the Department of Revenue.
Yeah.
Like, I could have bought a whole other fucking car.
Yeah.
For just the sales tax.
It's bullshit.
On those 3-4 transits.
It's fucking bullshit.
It's crazy. And then people are like,
how many times have I
why
said
is
fuck?
My water heater so expensive? Yeah, yeah. Well, ask Missouri that. Ask the state of Missouri.
I said 75 times. I'm trying to be better.
Something
Kaylin,
that cloudies up
your ass down.
That conversation is when people say tax the rich. And you got to think of like, what does like rich mean? Because I have friends that make twice as much as I do, but my purchasing power is like way more than theirs because of how I chose to like maneuver financially.
Yeah, because you,
so it's like, they make more, but I'm technically richer by a certain definition. So it's like, now you're going to define that, you know?
And it's bullshit. Like when people say tax the rich, oh, well, the billionaires should do this and they should do that. The billionaires pay like 42% of our taxes that are brought in every year.
Yeah.
It's some crazy number. Mm-hmm. Like they're already doing it. Stop being a jackass.
Right.
Like,
well, ironically,
know
that's
your numbers.
Topic number two about that we're going to be.
I don't even know what topic number one was.
Well, first, we're going to talk about the Facebook outage that happened today.
Didn't even notice.
Well, you don't do a lot on Facebook. I'm on Facebook a ton.
So I have been better.
Yeah.
But today I was busy as shit. I had 3 doctor's appointments. I just.
About 9:30 our time.
Ain't been on it.
I went to check Facebook and it was having me log back in. And I've coached several friends through a massive hacking. Where their accounts got hacked, and then their accounts get hacked, they get booted off Facebook, have to re-log in. By the time they get logged back in, they realize that they used the hackers used their personal account to gain access to their business account. And then once you're in on the personal account, you now have access to the business account. You can add yourself, because you're a hacker, right? You're acting like somebody else. You can add yourself as a user on the business account.
Yeah, you're an admin.
And then you can eliminate everybody else off the business account, including the account that you've hacked. And so essentially these hackers will do that and then take total control over the business account. My friends that own Purgatory Tattoo out in Oak Grove, that happened to them.
That is not where I got my last.
And that is, they still don't have their account back.
Really?
Yeah.
How long has that been going on? I like her. She's a great.
She's amazing. It's just, I don't know why they don't have it. Like some weird, funny rule. Like Facebook acknowledges, somebody hacked your account, but for some reason, Facebook won't give it back. I don't know why. I have another friend of mine that has a couple of hair salons, and she got hacked.
Is it Belizio?
Yeah. Oh. And
she was
she
on the show. She was
I was able to see it. Like she, the hackers updated her profile picture to something random. And I'm like, that doesn't look right. And so I went
just
to
like
her
a Lambo or something.
No, it was something like some weird thing. And so I went to her account and I'm like, this does not look good. So I called her up and I'm like, hey, log into Facebook. And she's like, I can't. And I'm like, right. Like, listen to every word I say. And you have like almost no time to do this.
who else has access to your business account? And she rattled off all these names, and I'm like, who's the highest, most senior person you have that has access to that? And she's told me who it was, and I'm like, call them right now. Tell
Change
them
to, your password.
No, I said, tell them to go into the business account and eliminate every user, including you, from the business account, and just them. And we were able to save her. We got hers in time.
That's good. She's a nice girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone was able to get kicked off within like 48 hours. She was able to get access back to her account and everything was good. And then they go back and add the users. But that's what the hackers do. When they get access to your personal account, they also get access to all the other accounts that you manage, all your businesses, all of your pages, all of your groups, all of your everything. And they go through an admin control, change total control of all that stuff. I've had friends lose control of Facebook groups. They were listed as admins of Facebook groups.
And oh, really?
We're talking Facebook groups with 100,000 members.
Ooh.
And they get their account hacked, and then that person goes into the group that they run and eliminates all the other admins, eliminates everybody, and puts themselves as the admin, and now they don't own that group anymore.
Interesting.
It's crazy.
It's not just crazy. It's like that's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's just like...
Two-factor authentication.
People make fun of me for like not wanting to be involved in all of the technology crap. And it's like things like this... I don't want to say it's not important, and I know that I've got to be doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we tell all the guys in Tradewinds, you've got to be doing this. This is what it takes
right.
to be out in front of everyone, get free advertising, grow your business. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like, I can always feel that pull of, this is why I don't want to fuck with it. Because it's a constant battle of, I shouldn't say constant battle. You have to constantly be aware that those things could happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the world... Like, let's be honest, it's the world we live in now. Like, and it doesn't matter if it's Facebook, Instagram. It doesn't matter if it's my bank account online. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
You've got to constantly be aware. And like you were about to say, the two-factor authentication, like, you have to be doing that stuff.
Well,
like, just because it literally can take 30 minutes and the work that you've put in for 2 years, it's gone.
Right.
Or it takes it 6 months to get back.
Right.
You know,
the thing you have to watch out for, though.
Remember when
fuel injection was coming around, you had all these diehard carburetor guys.
Now we're getting onto a topic.
So you got all these diehard carburetor guys that are like, I don't like that newfangled technology, all that newfangled computer crap, right? And next thing you know, the carburetor guys are now getting their ass kicked by the fuel injector guys. In the computerized car, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can ignore it all you want, but it's coming whether you want it or not. Fuel injection, for example. You can ignore it all you want, but it's coming whether you like it or not. So get in early, learn how to use it to your advantage, learn the risks, and then run from there. Because there's plenty of risks with carburation, too.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you brought that up, because like, so when you're running track times, like an old quadrajet will, like if you're just in a quarter mile where you're just running full throttle open, will actually run as good, if not better in a lot of cases, than a fuel injection.
If it's tuned right, yeah.
If it's tuned right, it will. But if you're on a road course and you're in and out of the throttle a lot, the fuel injection runs better.
Yeah.
If you're looking for fuel economy, the fuel injection runs better.
Yeah.
But... that doesn't mean that you can disregard either of them.
Right.
So when you're growing in business or whatever, regardless of what it is, when new technology comes along, you owe it to yourself, like you were saying, to learn as much as you can about the fuel injection, about the Facebook, about the Instagram, about all this stuff. Does it seem like a hassle? Of course it does. But that's what separates you from the guy that wants to just have a regular old job.
That's business.
Like business is constantly grabbing those things that are out there, learning everything you can, and realizing, okay, 8% of that's good. Yeah. I want to harness that.
Yeah.
25% of the next thing is great. 100% of the next thing is great. And taking all of that stuff and mixing it together and then using it to move your business forward.
Right.
You know what I mean? The people that... were like when fuel injection first came out and they were running against quadrants, they were killing them. And then people that run quadrants were like, hey, look, what happens if we just change the rods and the springs and we run full fucking wide open? fuck it. And then they were beating them. You know what I mean?
For a minute.
But they had to learn that stuff and realize we have to change what we're doing here.
Yeah.
To keep up with everything else. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, if you don't at least acknowledge what's happening to your business or social media or the way advertising's handled or when ProPress comes out.
Right.
Or when pipe bursting comes out. I know a lot of the guys are plumbers. You're like, if you don't realize that that stuff is the next frontier and you just say, fuck it, I don't want to deal with it, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with variable speed compressors and HVAC. They're shit. They suck and they've sucked for 8 years. But for those guys that don't know anything about them and people have been putting them in anyway, like, you're behind the curve because the next ones that come out or the next ones are going to be great.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be the next thing.
Yep.
And so you're behind the eight ball fucking 10 years because you were just too ignorant to grasp a hold of that stuff and say, hey, I need to learn what I can.
Right.
You know, why it's right here in front of me. And it makes it more difficult down the road. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I babbling?
A little bit.
That's okay.
But so, like, another.
I'm not getting paid. It's fine.
Another example of that is, so, like, last week, last Tuesday, a week ago today, we discovered some fraudulent activity on our American Express card related to Facebook ads.
Smedley Plumbing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what TW. We were having a, so we run Facebook ads in our company, and we were having, you know, we're in constant communication with the guy that runs my ads and all this stuff. And we started noticing all of these small charges for, like, a $2 ad and a $5 ad and a $10 ad and a $12 ad and a $7 ad. And I mean, they just come in these massive waves.
Yeah.
And so we talked to him about it and he says, yeah, I'm going to get you on batch billing or like threshold billing, where they're just going to let all that pile up and then you just bill them. They just bill you like $500 at a time. Mm-mm. And so we were like, okay, well, this is really annoying because it's a bookkeeping nightmare because you're getting like 20 transactions a day, all for small dollar amounts. And so, the couple of weeks goes by, next thing we know, we're still getting it. And he was like, well, I got it on batch billing or threshold billing, but, you may have some lingering ones coming in. Couple of more weeks goes by, it's still happening, and he's like, I don't know what's going on, you are on the new billing. And so we start looking into it and we realize, wait a minute, our Facebook, like, we pay the marketer with my American Express, but we pay the ad spend with my MasterCard, and all of these charges were coming in on the American Express. Then the light bulb goes off of, like, shit.
Here we are,
shit, this isn't even the right card, like, whose ads are these?
Not mine, bitch.
And so
that's great.
Then we start realizing, like, holy cow, we're paying for somebody's ads. And this has gone on for 60 days.
Yeah.
And it started on December, like, 29th. And so I call American Express, start the process with them to dispute all of it. I call Facebook, start the process with them to dispute all of it. And next thing we know, like, Facebook admits that, yes, somebody got a hold of your card. We're not sure how this happened. The money's been spent on Instagram, boosting posts on Instagram, which we don't do that, right?
Yeah.
And then I've got in writing from Facebook that they acknowledge that this money is being spent on accounts that I don't own, nor do I have access to. Okay. And so that gave me the power that I needed to go back to Amex and full on dispute every charge that happened.
And Amex was probably like, gotcha.
Amex has got your back.
Yeah. Gotcha,
they still have a process to go through. And I mean,
yeah, and it's a 45-day process, I guarantee it.
And this is,
but still, this is
300 and is almost 350 transactions totaling $7,000 over 65 days.
Woo. Good thing it ain't my money.
Yeah. And so,
sorry, bro.
What's funny is now Facebook has circled back around with me and they're like, we found no foul play. And it's like, bullshit. Like,
hey, look, I already fucking snapped. I already took screenshots. You're fucked.
Yeah.
Like,
and really what it is, what I think is happening is Facebook is confusing and crossing credit card numbers. Like, Facebook,
that's probably true.
Facebook has my Amex because that's what I pay for my blue check with. I pay $14.99 a month for my blue check.
Gotcha.
That's the only way Facebook could get my Amex because that's the only thing I pay for that. Well, somehow Facebook allowed my Amex card to get lined up with somebody else's account. And it comes to come to find out this happens a ton.
Of course it does.
I posted about it.
Do you think they have a really stringent like security protocol?
Right.
No, of fucking course not.
Right.
They don't care.
And so of course Facebook is going to plead the fifth and not give you any information and all that stuff. But
yeah,
again, that's why you have Amex, is they're going to go to bat for you.
Yeah. And that's why I love my Cabela's card. Like I can call them and be like, hey, that's not me.
Yeah.
They're like, I've had it 20 years. They're like, Mr. Hilton, we apologize.
Right.
For the inconvenience and calling you, we'll take care of it. And then like, that's it. Like it's fucking over.
Yeah. So I'll get all that money back from Amex, but, and how they explained it. Cause like we've already paid one of the bills.
Yeah.
And we paid that bill before we realized that it was happening on a different credit card. So they suspended all the charges on the active current bill. And then they're going to credit us back all of the other charges. So
good,
but
good.
But that goes along with the whole Facebook outage thing. And you cannot be afraid of technology. You have to embrace it. And yes, there will be trials and tribulations. There will be downfalls. There will be server crashes. There will be everything. It's just part of it.
Well, and that's what separates, like, let's be honest. People that don't want to stomach that kind of like involvement, they don't want to deal with having to call Amex and having to deal with sending emails to Facebook, like business ownership is probably not for you. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Because it is a headache.
Dude.
And unless you can deal with those headaches, like you're going to be in trouble because it's a constant. It's a fucking constant. You're going to be dealing with it all the time.
Let's just say
I shouldn't
this.
Say all the time, but every few months, like there's going to be a fire like that, that you've got to put out.
The main reason people go into business for themselves is to make more money, but the taxes get exponentially harder when you're in business for yourself versus when you're working for somebody else. And so,
I mean, taxes do. And I mean,
well, what I'm saying is if you get intimidated by a little bit of a Facebook outage and, or a little bit of a scammy credit card transaction thing, then business ownership is absolutely not for you.
No, cause it's constant,
because
man. It's
I mean,
never ending.
Taxes is your number one, thing to keep on your radar when you're in business for yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about, like, some dipshit commented on my post talking about the 350 transactions and $7,000, and they were like, damn, business must be pretty good for that to go unnoticed.
No.
And it's like, dude,
it's in 20 days. We were on a 30 days billing cycle.
Well, like, I mean, we were seeing them live come in because they live connect to, like, we saw it in December.
Yeah, but you're not looking at it every freaking day.
Well, the flip side is you look at our annual revenue
and you're doing ads anyway.
Right. We're already doing Facebook ads. They bill just like all the other Facebook ads bill. So now, like, it would have been really fucking hard to catch this if they were billing on the same card that I'm paying for my other ads with.
Yeah.
That would have been really hard. We'd have had to scrutinize every single one of them. Like, we actually got lucky that it was the other card.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't say lucky, but fortunate.
Yeah
for sure.
But what I'm saying is you look at our annual revenue and you look at the $7,000 fuck up here, and it's not really a fuck up. It's a fraudulent thing, right?
Yeah.
This Same is thing, like 0.04% or something of our annual revenue.
Yeah.
Like if I went into your bank account right now and I took 0.04% out,
I wouldn't even notice for 30 until I reconcile 2 months later. I wouldn't know. Cause
right.
I always do it. I always do mine every 2 months. Like,
right.
So I'm 2 months behind. I would like literally, I wouldn't know for 2 months.
Right. And there's not a person out there. And really that's
Dude,
how we caught it was when reconciliation of our
and
QuickBooks.
Some people don't do that shit for 6 months at a fucking time.
Some people don't reconcile their bank account ever.
Every month. That's my.
Yeah.
I just.
A lot
like,
of
people
don't ever
do
reconcile.
My
it.
Wife does not do our personal.
They trust
and I
the
chew her
ATM
fucking
receipt.
Ass, not in a good way. All the fucking. I'm like, look, babe, you have got to be. She don't care. She don't give a fuck.
Of course, mine
you know,
is like
I
way
mean,
more line items than yours, guys. But I still.
I mean, but it's but still,
yeah.
It's just like when you're to your point, when you're running a business and all of that stuff is going through, it takes time. It takes 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, and also too, it's
just
the scale of the business. If somebody stole $3 from you, you probably wouldn't notice.
It'd take a long fucking time.
It may take a long time, if ever. Right?
I might kill you, but it takes me a long time.
And I'm not saying that $7,000 to me is equivalent to $3 to any of the listeners of this show. I'm just saying in the scale of business, shit can go unnoticed pretty quick. And so that's part of it. That's one of the challenges that you have to worry about.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those things, like when we talk about numbers with the trade wins guys, like we want them to be doing their stuff every month, right?
Yeah.
Like this is when we talk to them, this is an afterthought, but this is one of the real reasons.
Well, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because you can catch that stuff.
Right.
If you're doing it regularly. Well, and like Austin was saying, hey, I do mine every month. That's why. You know what I mean? Because if, like, I shouldn't say that's why. When you're smaller, it's easier to do at 30 days. Mm-hmm. It's tough to do it at 30 days when you're,
well, your personal,
when $150,000 are rolling through there.
Your personal checking account is black or white. Like, did I make this charge? Did I not? Do I have a receipt or a record of this, or do I not? Right? Your business bank account is totally different.
Well, you say that, but that's a cop out.
No, it's not. Well, hold on.
Oh, we're going to get into it. I like it.
What I'm saying is your business bank account is built on percentages of your budget. So in other words, like I've got five guys that are all buying material from supply houses. I have very little way to prove, did my guy buy that material or did he not? So, but ultimately I use my budget and the percentages of revenue to start catching problems. And so what I mean by that is if material cost exceeds a certain percentage of revenue, I now have a reason to look into all the material purchases for this month. If labor costs exceed a percentage of revenue, I can look into that. If marketing costs exceed a percentage of revenue, I can look into that. And ultimately, that's how we found it, was marketing costs were exceeding our budget. And so then we're able to deep dive into it further. But
like, let's just to break that down, that is 100% correct, what you just said.
Right.
If you were breaking that shit down every 30 days based on dollar amount and not percentage, and like the way I like to tell the guys and the way that I always did it was I did nothing percentage wise. Now, that's when your business is scaled, that's very hard to do because
it's
it's not impossible to do. And this is why. It's impossible to do if you don't want to spend the time to fucking do it. Like, it takes a lot of time and a lot of man hours to sit down and plug those numbers in and pull receipts from what guys have done and then dictate where did those parts go, whose trucks are those parts on. Like, but it's not impossible. You can fucking do it.
No, here's why it's impossible.
And when you notice that those numbers are off of what I spent $34,000 last month on marketing. This month I spent $37,000. Why? Like, if you're doing that stuff on a monthly basis, you can do it. It's not that it's impossible. It's that it takes a lot of time and man hours and money to do it, but it is not impossible.
Here's why it's impossible.
It's not impossible.
It is.
No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Here's why. Because if my guy goes and buys 5 3-quarter PVC couplings, I have no way to prove that he didn't stick 2 or 3 of them in his pocket and use a couple of them on the job.
We're not talking about parts. We're talking about money spent on advertising.
Well, we're talking about money spent anywhere in the company.
We are, and that's how I brought it up. But you know that, hey, money that I've spent on advertising is X.
Yeah.
And what I spent last month is not what I spent this month.
Advertising.
This month was $1,500 more.
Yeah.
And I know that, hey, that's off.
Yep.
I can call that guy that you called.
Yeah.
Later and said, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But like, if you were doing that on a...
Advertising's easier because you're talking about 4 to 6 expenses per month.
I know. And that's why we're talking about it.
Right.
Because it was an advertising outlier.
Right.
Like... You know what I mean? Like, you can say, hey,
yeah,
like, this is what I should have been spending. What's going on?
Yeah.
And this isn't I'm not busting your balls. I don't, like, none of this fucking matters. The reason I bring it up is because when we tell the guys, hey, you need to know your numbers every month, you should really be knowing your numbers for the guys in the group. You have 3 and 4 guys or 1 and 2 guys, including yourself. You know those numbers. You should be able to know those numbers weekly. Like,
yeah.
It's easy when there's 1 or 2 of you to know those numbers weekly, and you fucking should.
Yeah.
Because you cannot scale to a higher number if you're not taking that shit all in on 1 or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
But the flip side of it is
what gets off is when you get to the point where you're at, where you've got 4, 5, six guys, you're doing all that money, it's easy to let those things fall through. That's my point.
That's why we coach on managing percentages to be the red flag for looking for problems, because I'm not kidding you.
That's when they're big. That's when guys are big.
We'll do bigger. We'll do 200 material receipts a month. And it would cost $100,000 a year in salary to scrutinize that many material receipts and actually follow it through to make sure every piece of material either went to a job or went to truck stock. Right. And so that's why you're managing on percentages, because that helps throw the red flag for problems.
Yeah.
And marketing is different because it's maybe even at my size, marketing is still probably 5 to 6 receipts a month.
Well, and that's why I bring it up, because like when we talk to the guys about like knowing your numbers, like knowing them in the most in-depth situation, not in-depth situation, when you know them the most that you can know them on your scale, it allows you to make choices and changes, right? Like material is the one outlier that is a constant anomaly. You know what I mean?
Because it's not just material. There's a bunch of them, like fuel. At the size of our fleet, we are filling a tank of gas every day.
That's a tenth of what material is.
I understand.
It's easy to track. They don't have to go every day. If they're driving all over, maybe they have to go every day. You got 3 trucks times 5, that's 15 receipts a week. That's nothing.
Right.
Compared to looking at a receipt that's got 78 items on it from Ferguson.
Right. But like, what I'm saying, even on the fuel side of things, like if we really want to scare the shit out of people, you get a fleet of 5 trucks. Out of a fleet of 5 trucks, somebody is getting gas every single day. So we have 20 to 25 fuel receipts a month.
Yeah, there's probably three a day getting gas if you had 5 trucks.
Well, they don't get gas every day.
I'm saying three of the five are probably getting gas.
We have a fleet of 5 trucks, and we get about 5 fuel receipts a week. So one truck is getting gas every
one
day.
One of them doesn't take gas.
Right, but what
one of them is electric.
My Lightning, all the things, right?
I'm saying you have 3 gas trucks.
Yeah.
I
have 4 gas transits.
You have 4 gas.
Right.
And so every day, one of them is getting gas probably on average.
Right.
So you're getting 5 a week. Receipts.
Yes. We get on average 20 to 25 fuel receipts a month. Now
that math works out. Yes.
Right. So at 20 to 25 fuel receipts a week, if I get 26 or 27 in a month, that doesn't throw me a red flag. If I get 22 or 23, that doesn't throw me a red flag. Somebody could literally be having their wife pull up to the fuel pump next to them and filling their wife's car too, and I wouldn't know it.
No.
I could figure it out.
If that car's empty, yeah.
I could figure it out, but I wouldn't know it right off the get-go, right?
No.
And so ultimately what I'm saying, and the whole reason we're talking about the Facebook outage thing and everything else, is you're going to have shit happen. You're going to have stuff show up that you weren't expecting. And it's easy for the outliers, and it's easy for the people watching to say shit like, oh, business must be nice if you $7,000 went and you didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Like that happens, right? The other thing with this Facebook thing is there were a lot of people freaking out because Facebook's their sole source of jobs.
They're fucking losers.
No.
If you can't handle one day of being out of work and you don't have money set aside, you're a loser.
Well,
we talk about it all the time on here. Like if business is slow for a week and the plumbers don't make their money, like we tell the guys, if you don't have the money to pay them for that week, what are you fucking doing with your money?
I get it. But at the moment, like when the power goes out, you don't know.
They panic, man.
Well, you don't know when it's going to come back on.
Stop.
I'm just saying.
It's 2024. It's not going to be a month.
I'm not making excuses for them.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
What I'm saying is,
yes, you are.
You've got people that were panicking, thinking that they were hacked. They were panicking, thinking that they were put in Facebook jail or lost their account or whatever the case may be. And if a majority of your work comes through the Facebook channel, it's very easy for that panic to pass all the way through to what am I not, not only can I not get on Facebook for my social time, but now what am I going to do for an income? Right? Because one of the things that we coach in TradeWinds is to get boatloads of work through Facebook groups and through your social media. And so that's a good perk or a good reason to be diversified in how you get leads, right? Yeah, it, because whether Facebook's down or not, people still need water heaters. People still need toilets fixed and everything else. So they're going to go to Google or whatever else. So you have to be in all those areas as well.
Yeah.
We preach Facebook because Facebook is the freest way to get work.
It's the freest and easiest.
Right.
And it's the easiest.
Right.
But that doesn't mean...
But
like, I don't want to like blow up a whole thing, but like, dude, if Facebook goes out and you can't make it one fucking day, what the fuck is wrong with you?
No, I like, totally understand.
I'm not talking about you. Like, he takes everything so personal.
No,
like,
no,
I'm,
no.
Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to punch him in the face. Mitch, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying for those people that literally, and I'm not talking about just in business, like if your whole social life revolves around you looking at Facebook every day and it goes out for 2 hours and you lose your mind, something is wrong with you.
Yeah, 100%.
Stop.
That's,
it's 2 hours.
So when Facebook locked me out,
this is why I hate society. I get crushed for like not being part of like the super social media. Like, I don't want to get involved. This is why, because people literally will lose. Like today, people lost their minds over nothing.
The social people just went to the other platforms. They went to Twitter, right? Because Instagram went down too.
People lost their minds over nothing.
Yeah, we're not talking about those guys. That's who I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the people that are crazy.
Yeah.
The people that are insane.
Let them have it. They went to TikTok. They went to Twitter.
Insanity.
They got their
sanity.
Right. I'm talking about the people that have built their business around getting Facebook referrals. And then when Facebook drops, it forces you to pause and say like, oh shit, what if Facebook went away? How would I get work?
How many people in our group messaged us, oh shit, what am I supposed to do?
Nobody.
Zero.
Because the outage was only like 30 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Zero.
But
because they're not insane.
Well, right. Well, they also have full schedules.
Yeah. Right? They're working.
Right. But
they're working.
What I'm getting at is there are people that momentarily freaked out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are.
And they should be put in a sanitary.
There are shitty digital marketing agencies out there.
Oh, yeah.
That when it comes back online, they're like, were you worried about your business crashing because Facebook went out? Well, you need to hire us. And it's like, no.
Don't be a douche. Yeah. Well, those are the people that are preying on the people that I'm talking about.
Yes.
Like they're sucking their soul. Like, hey, how much cash do you have?
The wrong way to handle the Facebook outage is to freak out about all the shit. Right. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I had a momentary freak out, not because I was worried about a loss of business. I was worried about my account being hacked and losing my business profile and all that, because I've seen it happen. And it wasn't until I got confirmation from several others that their accounts were locked out too. So we're talking a matter of like 7 minutes. I freaked out for about 7 minutes. And then as I realized it's an outage, I'm like, okay, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Right.
Yeah. You didn't full panic.
Right.
You momentarily lapsed.
I momentarily panicked, but only because I thought I had been hacked, not because I was worried. Like, I could care less if Facebook goes down.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be the way that it presented. If you tried to log in while it was out, it looked like you were hacked. Because your password didn't work. It made you try to log back in, and it would tell you your password wasn't working. It would tell you, like, you try a different password, and it would tell you that's a former password. You need to use your current one.
Yeah.
But then when you would use the right one, it wouldn't tell you that it was right, but we're having an error. Like, it gave you nothing. And so it felt like you were hacked. And so once I realized
no one wants to hack my website. Like, no one cares about me. I'm such a piddly.
It'd be like four posts over 12 years. That's weird.
Yeah. They're like, they're not. Yeah. No one's hacking my shit.
Yeah.
Like,
but what I'm getting at is the, so after that 7 minutes where I realized, okay, everyone else is not working too sweet. And then I just had the girls in the office. I'm like, let me know when it comes back online. But there are people out there that their sole source of leads is through Facebook. And so the right way to handle that is like, okay, Facebook's out.
Wait.
Let's go to the computer. No, not wait. Like,
patience.
Let's go to the computer and print up flyers and let's go door to door. Like, let's figure out another way to get leads, because Facebook is not the only place to get leads.
Are you,
right? Now,
I have questions about that statement. Are you, do you mean like the second it goes out, you were thinking about like doing door hangers?
100%.
Like, what's the, what, you know, you sound like a crazy person, right?
No.
Like, what's the limit? 30 minutes? Like, if it was out for 30 minutes, would you be like, okay, now I need to start worrying?
Well, I dedicate
or
a
you
certain...
don't hear or you don't hear from anyone on Facebook that it's out and it's just you being hacked 30 minutes and then you're doing door hangers?
And
the reason I ask you is because, like, when you did door hangers, you hung 1,000 or 2,000, you got one fucking call.
Right.
Like, so that doesn't work.
Well,
in our area.
But what also doesn't work is sulking in your basement saying, well, Facebook's out, I guess we're going to fold the company, right?
No, but like when we talk about patients, like, oh, it's been a slow week. Like, don't lose your mind and spend $15,000 on marketing for one slow week.
I understand.
Or two slow days, but, or three slow days. You know what I mean?
What I'm saying is,
like,
I dedicate a certain amount of time every day to social media because it grows the business.
Of course it does.
So if social media is down, I'm not just going to sit on my ass for that little bit of time and act like, oh, I got free time.
No, you're going to pipe burst.
I'm going to go, well... I was on that job today.
That's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, if I wasn't on in the field today, I would have, like, my social media time today was fucked anyway because I was in the field.
Yeah.
However, if I wasn't in the field today, then I would have been doing other forms of marketing. I would have taken the time that I normally spend on Facebook and I would have applied that time to somewhere else, because that's what champions do. Champions don't just take a look at the circumstances and be like, well, I guess it's just not in the cards today. I guess we won't market today, right? Champions would say, okay, Facebook's down. How can I still get the same number of leads that I need today if I can't get them through Facebook? Well, I'm going to do everything in my power. So for me, that would be loading up my mini go-kart in the back of my truck and driving to a cool part of town and, like, driving around handing out flyers.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I...
For me, that would be going and buying an ice cream truck for a couple of hours and saying, free ice cream in the cool, popular parking lot in town, parked next to my plumbing company branded truck, and saying, hey, this one's on the house.
Can I ask you a question? How many, I've never actually asked you this. How many plumbing Facebook leads do you get every day? Like that you're,
anywhere from 19 to 29% of our leads come from Facebook recommendations.
So how many is that a day? I'm just curious. I've never asked you. So you're telling me if you get 100, you're getting 20 from Facebook in your area?
Yeah.
So if you get 10.
So it's a 19 to 29% drop in leads. It doesn't matter the amount.
So if you're getting 10, so if you get 10 phone calls, two of them, one and a half of them came from Facebook that day.
Yeah.
How many of them do you guys convert, do you know?
We convert inbound phone calls at 70%.
Okay. Regardless of the leads.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess that's where I'm getting at with it. Facebook goes down, it doesn't mean the business has gone under. I immediately recognize 19 to 29% of our leads ain't happening today. So what am I going to go out and do? I'm going to go take ownership of this problem and I'm going to go find a way to recoup those 19 to 29% of the leads today. That may only be three leads.
It may be no leads.
It depends.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But what I'm saying
is, just depending on how busy you are.
3 to 5 leads a day come from Facebook. And so at 3 to 5 leads a day coming from Facebook, if Facebook goes down, you don't know when it's coming back, right? It is an election year. Shit's going to be wonky this year. And so, like, AT&T went out and it was out for like a whole fucking day. And then Spotty a couple of days later, right? And so... Facebook goes down, you don't know when it's coming back. It's like, you could sit and sulk and wait for it to come back online and let them have total control over your income, or you could take matters into your own hands. It's ironic that I posted about this morning.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah. I know. I saw it.
What did I say? Now I got to go look it up.
I don't remember.
It was a good post.
Yeah, it was good.
I
didn't sleep last night, so
you can either sit and wait for things to happen, or you can take matters into your own hands and go make them happen. A champion will choose accountability every time. And the reason I posted that,
I think I shared that too.
I posted that about 2 hours before the Facebook outage. And the reason I posted that was because there are so many.
Ironically, after those 2 hours, no one saw it.
Ironically, the reason I posted it was because of shit like exactly the Facebook outage.
Yeah.
How many people are going to sit and just wait for things to happen? I guess I'll wait for Facebook to come back online, or a champion is going to take the accountability.
What did you do when it went out?
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Well, I was heading to a dig job.
I know you were.
So I didn't have a choice today. I didn't do anything today. I didn't have a choice.
I'm not busting your balls. I'm just asking. I knew you were working. Like, we were on a call this morning at 8 o'clock. So I just...
My day-to-day was shot on business ownership stuff. I was in the field today. I was not a business owner today.
I was at doctors all day today.
I was cooking.
Yeah.
No one cares what you're doing, Austin.
Double mushroom Swiss burger, and then I got a text from...
Well, it must be nice.
From my dad.
The rest of us are working and going to the doctors all fucking day.
Must be nice.
Yeah, that's why I said it must be nice.
I have the discipline to cook my own food.
Because he said that earlier.
Yeah.
God, I would hope so. You're grown. But you're not 10.
Yeah. So...
That's why I ask. So, like, let me ask you a hypothetical, and I know I'm going to get an answer that's not truthful. Well, because it's one of those things until it happens and you're in the moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you just react instantly. Like you said, you were going to print off flyers. Like if you were in the office today at 9:30, like how long would you have waited?
I wouldn't have waited at all.
So you're telling me, what would you have done at 9:30? Facebook goes out. You think you got hacked. What would you have done?
I would have loaded my go-kart up in the back of my truck and driven to the most populated part of town
and then
drove around town and handed out flyers.
And then it comes up. So you had to go get flyers.
No, I already have them.
Okay.
I got the door hangers on the ready.
You're driving there. It's 9:45. Facebook comes back on. Do you drive back home?
Either which.
Do you do both?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I do both.
Just asking.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I ask it. I ask Mitch, I get asked this a lot. Like usually, like, so at the event, a lot of guys ask me this when we're not together.
Yeah.
Because they ask me, like, dude, why are you hard on Mitch and ask him weird questions?
Right.
For the podcast. Because that's what people want to hear. They want to hear the hard answers.
Well,
that's why I fucking ask him. It's not that I don't respect what he's going to say. It's that it's my job to ask him weird fucking questions and get weird answers.
Right.
Like, that's my fucking job.
Right. And ultimately, like, we get this all the time. You'll see guys that start their own business, and then 2 months later, they're like, what are you guys doing to make the phone ring? And it's like, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for it to ring, right? And they're not doing shit. They're just waiting for it to ring. And it's like, dude, I had a list of, like, 12 to 15 things that I would do to put attention on the plumbing company.
Yeah.
And I put them in order of, like, what I thought would be the most effective to the least effective. And if I had downtime, I was running that list.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not shitting you. At that time, I didn't have a go-kart. I just had the one plumbing truck, right? But I'm not shitting you. One of the things on that list was to go get a Smedley Plumbing sign made and go to the most popular intersection in town
and spin it around
and dance and spin the fucking sign, right?
Mason's job from now fucking on.
Well, I don't like... I say that to say that's how dedicated I was to ensuring that I stayed busy to achieve the objective.
Yeah.
So many people start a company and they're like, well, if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, well, then I guess it just didn't work out. Right.
And my whole point there is, like, the whole objective is to be proactive.
Right.
And that's why I'm bringing that stuff up. Like, because if you're not prepared to be proactive, you're not proactive. Because the whole definition of being proactive is to be prepared.
Yeah.
And to have that stuff in place. So, like, when we say, hey, what would you guys do if, like, sales got, like, so what we ask a lot of the guys in TradeWinds is like, okay, so sales are slow. What are you guys going to do? Like, I'll just ask them.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, so what's your fucking plan for next week?
Go fishing.
They never say that.
No, they don't. They don't. But I mean, that's what a lot of people do.
A lot of them will say,
I don't know.
Up my Google, I'll say. And I know they say that because we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, what are the other things that they need to have in place? And that's why I'm kind of busting your stones here. Like, if you're not ready to be proactive when something like that happens, you're not prepared.
Yeah.
Like, what do we talk about in business? The number one thing before you start is to be prepared.
Yep.
The number one things when things get slowed down is to be prepared.
So,
like, that's just the nature of the beast is it. If you're prepared all the time, very few things will catch you off guard.
Yeah.
Like, you will be ready no matter what to take on a challenge when you're prepared in every area that you think you can be prepared in.
Yeah.
It's impossible to have 100% of all the answers, to have 100% of the preparedness that you think you need. Like, it's impossible. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a list of 10 things in every area that you think would be a problem later down the road.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's why I bring that stuff up.
You ever seen the show Breaking Bad?
Oh, I've seen like 3 episodes from every season. Okay. So no, but yes.
Have you seen the episode? Exact time. Have you seen the episode where they go down to Mexico and they poison the cartel?
Which episode? They go to Mexico.
There's only one episode where they go down to Mexico and poison the cartel.
No, never seen that one.
So they go down to Mexico with this poisoned bottle of tequila and they poison the cartel. Like, and he has to drink it too. Gus has to drink it too.
Who's Gus? Is he the main guy?
He's the
Branson
Los Pollos Hermanos, the owner of Los Pollos Hermanos chicken.
Okay. Got it.
Gus Frained.
Yes.
So he has to drink it too. And he slips out to go to the bathroom to throw it up.
Yeah.
Trying to limit the number of the amount of poison in his body.
Been there.
Well, then everybody dies. And then he's not doing well. Yeah. Right. And so they rush him to a Mexican hospital that's like 6 miles from the border. And it's not a Mexican hospital. It's a hospital that he's had built in a shack. And they're ready and waiting for him. Right. And so basically, they rush him there. He gets taken care of. And then one of the other guys on the show recognizes, holy shit, this guy's thought of everything. He's got blood for all of the people. Like, he's got blood bags.
Yeah.
For all of the people that went down there. They were prepared for any of those people to need blood. They were prepared for any of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, yes, this is about drugs and the cartel and everything else, but it's a good model for business of like, you have to be ready for all. Well, this is not cocaine. This is methamphetamine.
I know. Meth's
all good
white
stuff.
Trash for cocaine, but got it. Yeah. Okay. Continue, sir.
But ultimately it's a good model for business of like, this is how much you have to be prepared for everything.
Yeah.
You have to have a contention plan for everything, right?
Yeah, so like have a contingency.
When Facebook goes down, what are you going to do? When Instagram goes down, what are you going to do? If Google goes down, what are you going to do?
And it's just the same thing as when a guy calls in sick. What is your plan? Are you working?
Which is,
are you pushing everything off? Like,
ironically,
literally,
why I was in the field today.
Yeah.
Was because one of my guys was out today.
Zach, right? That I talked to today, yesterday, same thing.
Yeah.
Like, what is your plan? Well, like, dude, you either got to work or move calls off. What are we doing? Like, what is your plan? Dude, get the fuck after it.
Yeah.
It wasn't Zach. Grant
Cardone in his 10X book, he talks about this where he's got a buddy of his that's like, his business is about ready to sink. And it's like Super Bowl Sunday or it's a big game or something like that. And his buddy calls him up like on Saturday and he's like, man, I need some help. My business is getting ready to go under and I need your advice. Well, then Grant calls him back the next day, which is during the big game on Sunday. And Grant's like, well, what are you doing right now? Well, I'm watching the game. Well, you're not too worried about your business if you're watching the game.
Yeah, your shit's about to fold, bro.
You need to be out there making sales. You need to be out there hitting the streets. Like, and there's so many people that don't take that level of accountability.
Yeah.
And shit starts going south and they're just like, ah, fuck it. I guess it is what it's. It just wasn't in the cards. It wasn't meant to be. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
The difference between a champion and everybody else is a champion finds a way when there isn't a way.
Yeah.
A champion says, I don't care what the situation is. I'm going to get the outcome that I want to get.
Yeah, it's just like, and that there are so many levels of that, right? Like we got back from Vegas dude, I was smoked. Like Saturday night, I was smoked. Sunday, you looked like a fucking zombie. Like we were both rough, right?
Right.
Monday morning, what did I do? Like the business wasn't in dire straits, but I know if I don't stay on
work,
if I don't stay on top of it,
yeah,
like that's just what it is. I post on Facebook. I took in my office. Hey, this is what happens when you're exhausted. It's, you know,
yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, I look, did I look like you a look fucking really, serial killer?
Like I set my mind on my dude, this guy looked bad.
Yeah. I like, I was smoked. Like,
yeah,
but that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, that is what it takes. And not to pull off of like, you know, what are your responsibilities when things hit the fan? But like, those are like all of those little things really kind of dictate what your character is.
Yeah.
And your character will dictate how prepared you are and the sacrifices you're willing to make when things are down, like,
yeah,
like on Monday when you've been back from Vegas, or like, I know you were worse than I was on Monday. Yeah. You were, what'd you do, Mitch? You fucking worked.
I went to work.
You went to fucking work.
Right.
Like, that's what it takes to be at that level. And like we tell the guys all the time, if you're not ready to be at that level and you don't have the character that it's going to take to sustain that, don't do it.
Yeah.
Like you don't fucking have it. Like,
yeah,
it takes another level of willpower really to do it, because you have to force yourself to do it. Well, like, that's just what it is. You just got to force yourself to do it.
Successful business owners do not, they're not okay with things just coming their way. Successful business owners have a very intentional outcome in mind, and they purposefully act so that that outcome comes to fruition.
100%.
They don't just say like, well, I'm going to start a business, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. They say, I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to do these exact things to get work. I'm going to do these exact things to do that work very well. I'm going to do these exact things to get referrals. I'm going to do these exact things to get recommended.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do these exact things to make sure that my team is happy and taken care of. They're very intentional with every action that they take.
Yeah.
And
that's what it takes.
And that's exactly what it takes. Employees, on the other hand, they say, well, that's the employer's job to get calls. Well, that's the employer's job to figure out my health insurance.
Yeah.
That's the employer's job to tell me how many PTO days I have left.
Yeah.
That's the employer's job to take the right money out of my check for taxes. And it's like, no, even as an employee, before I started my own company, I'm scrutinizing my paycheck to make sure that my employer's taking the right amount of taxes out.
I signed up for a 1-1. What is this?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's too much money. Like, you can calculate percentages, right?
Right.
Oh, they've taken out $3,000 and I made 40 so far this year. Like, that's too little.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Champions take the accountability. Losers try to pass the blame.
Right.
Well, my employer didn't take enough out in taxes.
No.
Well, my employer didn't give me enough jobs. Bro.
It's still fucking on you.
Right. Right.
It's good, so, man. Wrap us up, buddy. Good show.
That's going to wrap it up for this show. If the Facebook outage scared the fuck out of you, then you probably should join Tradewinds to learn other ways to market.
I don't want
to
say get a life, but okay, whatever.
And learn other ways to get business. But until next time, guys, we will see you
Love
later.
You guys.